Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. There's something deeply wrong about scientists disappearing. And not because scientists are magical, they're just people. And people vanish every day. But when the missing names start clustering around nuclear labs, advanced propulsion, aerospace research, and deep space observation, your brain starts doing math whether you want it to or not. William Neil McCasland was a retired Air Force Major General, former commander of the Air Force Research Laboratory, a man connected to hypersonics, directed energy, advanced aerospace, and space systems. It's the kind of technology governments bury under acronyms and locked doors. Then in New Mexico, he walked out of his house and vanished. There's no confirmed explanation, no clean trail, just desert. And at first, that was a story, one missing man. Until people started noticing something ugly, other names, other cases, other deaths and disappearances, more scientists, engineers, physicists tied to sensitive systems, aerospace researchers, lab employees, in Los Alamos, Sandia, NASA, involved with fusion research, astrophysics. One name, well, it could be coincidence. A cluster deserves attention. And the deeper I dug into this, the less it looked like random tragedy. The more it looked like these people were standing too close to the machinery behind the world. Because once people started counting, they weren't just finding dead scientists. They were finding a map. Do you ever get the feeling a story is trying not to be seen? Not hidden, but worse than hidden. Hidden things get locked in vaults, buried in files, stamped with some boring government acronym that makes murder sound like office supplies. But this was sitting in the open. That's the part that gets under my skin. The names were public. The deaths were public. The missing person reports were public. But somehow, each case was treated like a separate tragedy. One scientist here, one engineer there, a lab worker gone, an aerospace researcher dead, an astronomer who never came home. And then you look at the fields, nuclear labs, advanced propulsion, research, plasma research, deep space observation, directed energy and aerospace materials. These are not just science jobs. These are the fields sitting underneath the future of energy, weapons, movement, the sky, essentially the ability to see farther, move faster, strike harder, and maybe cross distances the public still thinks belong in science fiction. That is not normal science. That is power with math wrapped around it. And the names kept orbiting the same places: Los Alamos, Sandia, NASA, JPL, MIT Plasma Research, defense contractors, and Southern Sky Observatories. Places where the public story of science starts to fade out and the version shaped by defense agencies, intelligence networks, and private contractors begins. And that is where this starts to feel less like coincidence, because these are the same worlds that orbit the UAP question. And I'm not talking about the weird cartoon version, not the little green men playing hide and seek with farmers. I'm talking about the real question: propulsion, energy, materials, tracking systems, and nuclear secrecy. Who has the technology? Who controls the files? Who gets to speak? And who becomes a problem when they know too much? Now, I'm not saying every case belongs on the board. Some of this list may be just bad research. Some may be grief turned into rumor. And some may be internet sludge wearing night vision goggles and pretending it has a source. Fine, I get that. We'll burn off the weak stuff. But that is not the scary part. The scary part is that even after you throw out the weak cases, some names stay. And they keep landing in the same neighborhood of advanced energy, advanced movement, advanced weapons, sky watching. That is where this story stops feeling like random tragedy and starts feeling like a pressure system forming around forbidden knowledge. Because history has already shown us this machinery. We know this country has run domestic surveillance programs. It has buried human experiments. It's destroyed reputations, leaned on witnesses, hidden technology behind classification walls so thick the truth could die in there and nobody would hear it hit the floor. So when people say no institution would ever do something like that, well, I don't know what country they've been reading about, because the paperwork says otherwise. And when knowledge becomes dangerous, people do not always vanish in clean movie ways. Sometimes they get discredited. Sometimes they get isolated. Other times, they get buried under lawsuits, non-disclosure agreements, security reviews, mental health whispers, or just professional exile. Sometimes the person survives, but the discovery doesn't. And then there are the astronomers. And that's where this thing gets strange. Now, we are not just talking about nuclear labs or propulsion engineers. We are talking about people whose job was to watch the sky. And not the pretty sky from your backyard. I'm talking about the other sky, the southern sky, the deep survey sky, the part of the map most people never think about unless something is already inbound, already tracked, or too sensitive to explain without setting the whole room on fire. And sitting around the edges of this story are the rumors nobody wants to touch directly. Hidden celestial objects, suppressed observations, southern hemisphere monitoring, defense-linked astronomy, old sky records that do not behave, modern missing person cases that feel like they wandered out of a classified file and into your local news. Maybe some of that is folklore. Maybe some of it is nonsense, we have to say that. But the core fear underneath it is not crazy, because if disclosure is real, if recovered technology is real, if maybe even part of the UAP story is tied to propulsion systems, exotic materials, energy platforms, or objects entering our skies, then scientists are not just scientists anymore. They become the gatekeepers, the witnesses, or risks and loose ends. And if even one of these people was close to something real, if one of them saw the wrong object, worked on the wrong propulsion system, touched the wrong energy program, or knew a timeline they were not supposed to know, then the messy list becomes useful. Because the best place to hide one real removal is inside 10 stories that sound too crazy to believe. That is the ugly genius of it. You don't have to erase the pattern. You flood it. You mix truth with nonsense until normal people get tired and walk away. Then the case bore becomes just a joke, the dead turn into trivia. The missing become content, and whatever they knew disappears right along with them. So we're going to do this clean. We're going to go name by name, case by case. We'll keep what survives. We'll throw out the trash. And then we'll look at what's still standing when the smoke clears. Most videos will ask whether the list is real, but that's not enough. That's lazy. We're asking whether the list is only the surface layer of something older, something wrapped around strategic science, UAP disclosure, and control of sky knowledge. Because once you stop seeing these as separate tragedies, the list stops looking like coincidence, and it starts looking like containment. The list did not start just as a list. It started the way these things usually start, with one strange death, one missing person, a local news story that disappears under weather updates, crime reports, and whatever dumb thing the internet is screaming about that week. And then another name shows up, then another. And pretty soon you're staring at something that feels less like news and more like a pattern clawing its way out of the noise. The first name that pulled a lot of people into this rabbit hole was Amy Eskridge, which I've covered before on this channel. And Amy is where the story gets dangerous fast. She was young and brilliant, working in Huntsville, Alabama, Rocket City, NASA City, the kind of place where private research and national security can start sounding like different doors into the same building. Amy co-founded the Institute for Exotic Science. Her world was experimental propulsion, anti-gravity research, electrostatic propulsion, exotic physics, the kind of work mainstream science loves to laugh at in public, right up until somebody in the defense office quietly asks if there's a prototype. Her death in 2022 has been reported as self-inflicted. That is the official frame around the case, and we need to say it clearly. But the reason Amy's name never went away is because people around Propulsion and UAP kept pointing to the same disturbing thing. Before she died, she had reportedly warned that her work was being suppressed, that she was afraid, that people were watching. That does not prove murder, of course, but it does put her near the emotional center of this story. Because Amy Eskridge represents the question nobody wants to say out loud. What happens when anti-gravity stops being a joke and starts becoming somebody's problem? That is the doorway. And once Amy's name went on the board, the next names did not make the room feel calmer. They made it worse. Because then came the NASA and JPL cluster. Michael David Hicks, Frank Myhrvold, Monica Riza. These were real people tied to real space science. Hicks worked at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory from 1998 until 2022, studying the physical properties of comets and asteroids. His death in 2023 received limited public attention, and public memorial pages did not list the cause of death. Frank Myhrvold was also connected to JPL. Reporting describes him as a longtime JPL researcher and instrumentation specialist. And again, the public details around his death are thin. Not proof of anything, but thin public details around sensitive scientific work have a way of making people lean forward. Then there is Monica Riza, and Monica's case is harder to shrug off. She was reported as an aerospace engineer and materials expert with JPL connections. Materials matter a lot in this story, because if UAP disclosure has a real technical heart, the question is not just what are they? It is, what are they made of? How do they move? What kind of heat, stress, pressure, or radiation can the material survive? That is where science stops being pretty and starts becoming military. Monica vanished during a hike near Mount Waterman in the Angeles National Forest in June of 2025. That's the official frame, just a missing hiker case. And yes, people disappear in mountains. The terrain kills, the heat kills, I get it. One wrong step can erase a person faster than people want to admit. But nearly a year later, questions remained public enough that investigators, journalists, and outside analysts were still circling the case. Los Angeles Magazine reported that a geoprofiler raised questions about whether parts of the scene could have been staged, while also noting that many missing hiker cases do end in ordinary explanations like accident or exposure. That is exactly the kind of case that belongs on this board. And then the map moves east to New Mexico. And this is where the story stops feeling like a list and starts feeling like a corridor. Anthony Chavez, Melissa Cassius, Stephen Garcia, and William Neal McCaslin. These names matter because they orbit one of the most sensitive science geographies on Earth, Los Alamos, Kirtland, White Sands. The old bones of the atomic age, the modern nervous system of weapons research, nuclear security, directed energy, and aerospace testing, and God knows what else buried under project names written by men allergic to plain English. Anthony Tony Chavez reportedly had ties to Los Alamos National Laboratory, and he disappeared in 2025. Melissa Cassius worked at Los Alamos National Laboratory and disappeared that same year. Stephen Garcia has been named in public reporting and online lists as another missing person tied to the broader New Mexico security infrastructure cluster. Now, I want to be careful here. Some details around these New Mexico cases are still messy. Some come through reporting. Some come through viral lists that look like they were assembled during a thunderstorm by a raccoon with Wi-Fi. But even cautious reporting agrees on the part that matters for this section. There are missing people on this board with ties to Los Alamos and related security infrastructure. And then we have McCaslin, William Neal McCaslin, the retired Air Force Major General, former commander of the Air Force Research Laboratory, a man who moved through space acquisition, advanced military research and special programs, and the kind of classified work that does not show up on a normal resume unless somebody has already sanitized the hell out of it. He vanished from Albuquerque in February of 2026. Authorities issued a silver alert because of medical concerns. Then the FBI became involved. And reporting noted there was no evidence of foul play publicly announced at the time. That's the official frame, at least. But come on. A former Air Force Research Laboratory commander disappears in New Mexico right when UAP disclosure, advanced propulsion, and missing scientist stories are all colliding in public? You do not have to accuse anyone of anything to admit that this is not normal background noise. Because McCaslin's name is not just a missing person case. It's a junction box. Air Force Research, Directed Energy, Hypersonics, Space Systems, New Mexico, UAP adjacent lore. And maybe that is why his disappearance became the name that lit the whole pattern on fire. But then the lift shifts again, from disappearances to violent deaths. We have Nuno Loureiro, was a major plasma physicist at MIT. He led MIT's Plasma Science and Fusion Center. And fusion matters a lot, because fusion is the dream of controlled starfire. Clean energy, strategic energy, the kind that could reorder the whole board if somebody cracks it for real, not just in a press release. Loureiro was shot at his residence in December of 2025 and died from his injuries. Authorities treated it as a homicide, and later reporting connected the suspect to the Brown University shooting. So, of course, that context matters. But his name still shows up because the timing in the field hit people in the chest. A fusion leader murdered at home. That is the kind of sentence that does not need music under it. It already sounds wrong by itself. Then we have Carl Grillmeyer, a Caltech astrophysicist, a man who studied distant planets, galactic structure, and the architecture of the Milky Way. He was found shot to death at his home in rural California in February of 26. A suspect was arrested and charged with murder, with separate carjacking and burglary charges also reported. Of course, that context also matters. So why do we keep him on the board then? Well, because this is not just about proving one clean plot. It is about watching what happens when high-level scientists in space-adjacent fields start dying, vanishing, or just appearing in violent headlines close together. Because if you only look at one name, well, you could explain almost anything. Life is messy. Bad things happen without needing an intelligence agency hiding behind every tree. But if you pull back, if you look at the fields and the geography and the timing, if you look at the way these stories keep orbiting UAP disclosure and nuclear secrecy or propulsion research and space observation, then the question changes. It is no longer, can each case be explained? Well, of course, some of it can. The better question is, why do the explanations keep leading back to the same locked doors? Even after you sort the weak cases from the stronger ones, the remaining pattern still points toward the same machine, energy, propulsion, weapons, sky tracking. And if disclosure is real, if even part of the UAP story is tied to recovered technology, exotic materials, propulsion breakthroughs, or objects moving through our airspace in ways we still cannot explain, then scientists stop being background characters. They become witnesses or liabilities. People who might know what the rest of us are not supposed to know yet. And one dead scientist can be a tragedy. Two can be a coincidence. But when the list keeps growing around the same kinds of technology, well, coincidence doesn't cut it. And this is not just an American pattern either. Once you follow the older cases, the map goes international real fast. So let's get one thing clear from the get-go. New Mexico is not random dirt. Pull back from the missing names and look at the map. The desert is not empty. It is full of doors. And for nearly a century, New Mexico has been where America builds the things it is not ready to explain out loud. This is where the atomic age broke open. White Sands, Trinity, July 16, 1945, the first atomic bomb. A flash so bright it turned night into a new kind of day. The first artificial sunrise was born in the New Mexico desert. And after that, nothing about the human story was the same. The people nearby were not fully warned about what that meant, not really. The government called it national security. The land remembered it as fallout. That is the original sin sitting under this whole place. New Mexico is where America learned that science could become apocalypse, and then learned how to classify the paperwork. So when people say, why are you looking at New Mexico? Well, that's why. Los Alamos sits there like a monument to that bargain. The public story is science. The deeper story is weapons, stockpile stewardship. That phrase sounds harmless at first, almost boring, like somebody is organizing office supplies for the apocalypse. But what it really means is this: maintaining nuclear weapons without full-scale nuclear tests. The quiet, ongoing work of keeping the end of the world functional. That is Los Alamos. And right there with it is Sandia. Sandia National Laboratories does not hide what it is at all. It calls itself America's Nuclear Weapons Engineering Laboratory. And that's not conspiracy language, that's their language. Engineering the systems around the weapons, making sure they survive, deploy, communicate, and trigger, and behave exactly the way they are supposed to behave. Polite language for keeping the unthinkable functional. Then we have Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque. Air Force research, space vehicles, directed energy, high-power microwave systems, laser research, technologies built around a very simple idea: strike, blind, disrupt, or destroy at the speed of light. Directed energy sounds clean. It sounds like something from a Pentagon slideshow. But if you strip away the sterile language, it means weapons made of invisible force, light, microwaves, electromagnetic power. The kind of thing that makes people in UFO circles sit up a little straighter. Because for decades, witnesses have described objects with effects, burns, shutdowns, interference, and weird electromagnetic behavior around encounters. Now, does that prove those systems are connected? No, it does not. But it means the overlap is not just imaginary. The same desert that gave us nuclear weapons now hosts space systems, lasers, microwave effects, advanced testing, and the next gen of military power. So if you were building, testing, or compartmentalizing advanced technology in America, New Mexico is not where the story ends. It is where the story begins. And then there is White Sands Missile Range. Not just Trinity, the entire missile range, the testing ground. A place built for rockets, missiles, sensors, radars, impact zones, and telemetry. And also all the expensive little ways empires learn how to throw violence farther. White Sands is not just a historical site. It's a giant outdoor laboratory where the sky becomes part of the test equipment. And that matters, because the UAP story has never just been about things in the sky. It has always been about who controls the data, the radar data, the missile range data, pilot reports, telemetry, the stuff normal people never get to see unless somebody leaks it, redacts it, or drags it into a hearing after 50 years of institutional throat clearing. And New Mexico has all of that. And sitting over all of it, like a weird old ghost, is the UFO mythology. You have Roswell, Dolce Base, Kirtland sightings, cattle mutilation lore, underground base rumors. Half of it is probably inflated. Some of it may be disinformation that got old enough to grow a beard. But folklore does not attach itself randomly. Stories grow where the soil is already strange. And New Mexico's soil has been strange since the day we split the atom out there and told the public not to ask too many questions. That is why the missing names hit differently here. Anthony Chavez, Melissa Cassius, Stephen Garcia, William McCaslin. When names tied to Los Alamos, Air Force research, nuclear security, or classified adjacent work start showing up near this corridor, it does not feel like ordinary geography anymore. That playbook matters, especially now. Because disclosure is not just about whether strange objects exist. That's the toddler version of the question. The adult question is uglier. Who has been studying them? Who has the materials? Who has the propulsion data? Who controls the contractors? And of course, who decides what scientists are allowed to say before their careers catch fire? And if someone inside that world starts becoming a liability, well, what happens then? That is why New Mexico matters. Not because every strange death there is automatically a conspiracy, that would be lazy, but because few places in America stack nuclear secrecy, military science, aerospace testing, directed energy, and UFO mythology like buried bone. And when people start disappearing around buried bones, well, you do not ask where they went. You ask what they were standing near. So maybe the desert is not hiding the bodies, but maybe the desert is hiding the program. So the thing that made this list hard to shake was not just the number of names. It was the kind of work around them. Because if this were random tragedy, you would expect the fields to scatter. But they don't. They keep orbiting the same zone of movement, energy, materials, weapons. The sky. That is the cluster. Advanced propulsion is not just faster airplanes. It is control over distance. Hypersonics are not science fiction. DARPA has publicly worked on boost glide systems where a rocket accelerates the payload. The payload separates and then glides toward a target at extreme speed. That is not just a cool gadget. That is a military power shift. Directed energy is another piece of the cluster. Lasers, high-power microwaves, electromagnetic systems. AFRL's directed energy work at Kirtland is public. Their own descriptions talk about lasers, high-power microwaves, counter-electronics, and long-range strike capabilities at the speed of light. Weapons that do not need a bullet to hit you. Plasma physics and fusion sit in the same neighborhood. Fusion is controlled starfire. Now, that might sound dramatic, but that is basically what we're talking about. The same kind of reaction that powers the sun, dragged into a lab and forced to behave. Crack that cleanly, and you do not just change the energy market, you change the leverage of nations. And sitting next to that is material science, the boring cousin everyone ignores until something impossible shows up on radar. But again, materials are everything. If something moves in ways we cannot explain, the first sane question is not who is flying it. The better question is, what the hell is it made of? That is why aerospace alloys matter. Recovered material claims matter too. And people tied to JPL advanced instrumentation and aerospace materials start glowing differently on this board. And then we have sky awareness, asteroid tracking, deep space observation, planetary monitoring. NASA and JPL Center for Near Earth Object Studies computes asteroid and comet orbits and their odds of Earth impact. That's documented. That is also terrifying if you think about it for more than 12 seconds. Because the people watching the sky are part of the early warning system for all of civilization. Now, add nuclear security, stockpile stewardship, maintaining and certifying the U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile without nuclear explosive testing. A hidden world of simulation, materials, physics, engineering, secrecy. So when this death and disappearance list keeps brushing against propulsion, directed energy, and all of this other stuff that we just talked about, that is not a weird resume problem. That is the skeleton of strategic power. If a civilization is about to change, it does not start with politicians. It starts with scientists who figure out how to move faster, how to see farther, burn cleaner, and strike harder, or leave the planet. And if even one of them was near the wrong breakthrough, the technology cluster is not background. It is the motive field. Before TikTok had a dead scientist list, Britain had one on paper. That is where this gets harder to dismiss, because the current list may feel new, but the shape of the story is much older. In the 1980s, Britain had the Marconi scientist deaths. Defense engineers, computer specialists, radar, missile, and torpedo adjacent work, all orbiting the Strategic Defense Initiative era, Reagan's so-called Star Wars missile defense program. Between 1982 and 1990, a string of scientists and engineers tied in public discussion to GEC Marconi and related defense work died under strange or disputed circumstances. Some reports counted more than 20 deaths. Officially, many were ruled suicides, accidents, or just unrelated tragedies. But the public fear was simple. People near sensitive defense technology were dying, and the explanations felt too clean for some families, journalists, and even members of parliament to swallow. And that is a template. Sensitive technology, dead specialists, official explanations, public disbelief. And of course, a government saying, more or less, Nothing to see here. Please return to your regularly scheduled obedient little life. Then look at Iran. Iran nuclear scientists have been targeted in the real world. That's not rumor. There were bombings and shootings, coordinated strikes. The U.S. Institute of Peace documented earlier assassinations tied to Iran's nuclear program, including attacks on scientists from 2010 onward. And in 2025, the Associated Press reported Israeli strikes that killed Iranian nuclear scientists. AP reported that Israel confirmed targeted killings of at least 14 scientists during its campaign. So when someone says, well, scientists don't get targeted for what they know, well, that person is either uninformed or selling you a very cute bedtime story. Scientists can and often do become targets because knowledge can be a weapon. And when the knowledge touches nuclear systems, missile defense, propulsion, materials, or anything that shifts national power, the person carrying that knowledge stops being just a researcher. They become an asset or a liability. Shane Todd is another case that keeps surfacing. From Singapore. He was an American engineer. It was a death officially ruled a suicide. His family rejected that explanation and argued he may have been murdered because of his work involving gallium nitride semiconductor technology, a material used in high-power electronics, radar, and military-adjacent systems. The case drew international attention after reporting connected his work to a possible project involving Huawei and Singapore's Institute of microelectronics. Now, was Shane Todd murdered for his work? Well, that remains disputed. But his case shows the fog perfectly. Sensitive technology, foreign power anxiety, family pushback, official closure. A gap between what was ruled and what still felt wrong. Then you have Eugene Malov, which he belongs in the same uncomfortable archive. MIT trained scientist, cold fusion advocate, murdered in Connecticut in 2004. Officially, the case was tied to a rental property dispute, and people were later convicted or pleaded guilty. But Malov's work lived inside a suppression story. So even a murder with an official explanation did not stay ordinary in the public mind. And then there is Ning Li. This one matters because it walks right up to the edge of the UAP propulsion question and just stands there staring at us. Dr. Ning Li was a physicist at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Her work involved superconductors and controversial anti-gravity claims. In 1999, she left the university and founded AC Gravity. In 2001, her company received a Department of Defense grant of $448,970 to continue the research. Then the public trail got thin. No major public breakthrough. No clean public results, just silence and rumors and years of speculation. Then she later suffered severe injuries after being struck by a vehicle and died in 2021. Again, we need to be clean. That does not prove she was silenced, but it proves something important for this episode. Anti-gravity was not only a punchline. At least for a moment, it was interesting enough for defense money. And once defense money touches exotic propulsion, the public story and the classified story may no longer be living in the same house. That is why Ning Li belongs near Amy Eskridge on this board, because their work points at the same locked door of propulsion, gravity, energy, control. The things UAP disclosure keeps circling without saying too plainly. So when people tell you the current scientist list is just internet hysteria, well, remember the older pattern. Britain had defense scientists. Iran had nuclear scientists. Singapore had a disputed semiconductor death. Cold fusion had Malov. And anti-gravity had Ning Li and potentially Amy Eskridge. Different countries, different decades, different official explanations, but the same shape. Sensitive space, strategic power, a dead expert, a closed file. And the public left wondering why the story keeps coming back. So most of us forget there is another sky. We look up from North America and think we are seeing the sky, but we are not. We are seeing our sky. And there is a whole other half of the map down south with different stars, different observatories, and different blind spots. And if something strange were coming from the wrong angle, the first people to know might not be sitting in Washington. They might be on a mountain in Chile or buried in ice at the bottom of the world. That is where Tom Marsh enters the story. Tom Marsh was a British astronomer, founding professor of astrophysics at the University of Warwick. On September 16, 2022, he was reported missing while at the European Southern Observatory's La Silla Observatory in Chile. On November 10th, Chilean authorities announced that his body had been found about 2.5 kilometers from the summit. Now, that does not prove DP-2147, which I've covered extensively on my channel, an incoming object, but it does not prove an inbound object. But if you are mapping the pattern of scientists who watched the southern sky and never came home, Tom Marsh belongs on the board. Because La Silla is not random scenery. It is one of the places humanity uses to watch the universe from the other side of the planet. And of course that matters. Because the southern sky carries a different kind of fear. Something could be seen there first. Something you could not easily explain to the public without causing a global pants-crapping event. And then there is Rodney Marks. And this one is worse. Marks was an Australian astrophysicist working at the Amundsen Scott South Pole Station in the year 2000. He died there at age 32. Months later, after his body could finally be flown out for autopsy, the cause was found to be methanol poisoning. The investigation never produced a clean public answer for how he ingested it. New Zealand investigators examined accident, suicide, and possible foul play. And Science reported that the National Science Foundation originally described his death as apparently natural before the poisoning evidence came out. So, an astrophysicist at the South Pole, poisoned by methanol, in one of the most isolated research stations on Earth. A dead sky watcher at the bottom of the world. Now, that is not proof of a plot, but it is absolutely not nothing, and it's quite strange. Because when a scientist dies in a place almost nobody can reach, the normal rules of investigation start to bend a little. Who had access? Who controlled the story before the rest of the world even knew what happened? Certain subjects create a gravity field around the people who touch them. And one of those subjects is the possibility that our sky is not as publicly understood as we are told. That is where the DP-2147 rumor comes in. DP-2147, well, it might be fiction. It might be internet mythology, maybe even disinformation with a file name. But what if something really is out there? What if it is coming from the part of the sky most of us never watch? And what if the people with the best view are the first ones pressured to stay quiet? That is the southern sky problem, and I've extensively covered all the scientists with views of the southern sky that have disappeared. Because if something were coming from the sky below our map, the first warning might not come from NASA. It might come from someone who never made it home. You do not only control the sky by controlling telescopes, you control it by controlling the records. And that sounds paranoid until you remember something simple. The sky has receipts. Before digital surveys, astronomers used photographic plates, basically old-school sky photos on glass. They weren't perfect, but they captured what was visible at a specific moment in time. And sometimes, when modern astronomers go back through those old plates, something weird is sitting there. A point of light, an object that appears once and then refuses to ever show up again. That is where the VASCO project comes in. VASCO stands for Vanishing and Appearing Sources During a Century of Observations. I know, beautiful nerdy name, but a deeply creepy idea. Researchers compared to roughly 600 million objects from the old US Naval Observatory B1 catalog against the modern Pan-STARRS survey data. They were looking for sources that were visible before, but are missing now. Basically, a missing person search for lights in the sky. And some of the cases are hard to wave away cleanly. Because in 2021, researchers described 9 point sources that appeared on a Palomar Observatory photographic plate from April 12, 1950. Same plate, then gone. They were absent in earlier images, missing from the later images. still absent in deeper modern surveys. The researchers explored ordinary possibilities, of course, rare astrophysical events, instrumental contamination, and even fast reflection from objects near geosynchronous orbit, if contamination could be excluded. Good, it should have. That is how science is supposed to talk. But unresolved still means unresolved. Then there is the 1952 case. Three bright point sources appear close together on Palomar images within about 50 minutes, and then they vanished. According to later work, no persistent counterpart was found in deep follow-up observations. Now, that is not proof of a hidden object by itself, but it is proof that the Sky Archive contains ghosts. Because if the fear behind DP-2147 is hidden sky knowledge, then the real question is not just what telescopes are seeing right now. It is what archives already saw, what got cataloged, what got dismissed as contamination, what got buried because it did not fit the story we were ready to tell back then. Maybe they are rare natural events. Fine, I'll concede that. But if the sky keeps receipts, then someone somewhere has to decide which receipts matter. And that is where science gets political. Because the scariest thing in the sky may not be what we can see. It may be what appeared once and was never allowed to appear again. So, what the heck is actually behind all this? Because at this point, there are only a few doors left. Door one is, of course, just coincidence. And look, we have to leave that on the board. An official explanation is not the same thing as the truth. It is just a data point. People do die. People vanish. Scientists are still people. They hike. They struggle. They get sick. They get targeted by ordinary criminals. They make private decisions. Sometimes they end up in the wrong place at the wrong time. So that theory by itself is not stupid. But coincidence has a weight limit, and this list was heavy as heck. So let's look at door number two. Door two is foreign intelligence. That one is easy to understand. China, Russia, Iran, corporate espionage, strategic technology theft. Scientists can become targets. That is not fantasy. So yes, foreign targeting is absolutely possible, but it is also convenient. A clean enemy, a clean headline, and a clean way to point the camera outward and say, nope, don't look at us. So that one's a little too clean. Door three is private defense containment. And that one bothers me more. Because modern secrecy is not just government. It is contractors, labs, aerospace firms, black budgets, special access programs, people protecting patents, materials, sensor data, propulsion research, and whatever else lives behind the polite phrase national security. Sometimes the state does not need to hide the truth. It just needs someone else to own the room where the truth is stored. And then we have door number four, domestic factions. Not the government as one big cartoon villain. Instead, factions, legacy programs, intelligence adjacent networks, contractor protected compartments. The permanent national security machine that does not pack up and leave when presidents change. And that part should bother every American no matter who they voted for. Because if the UAP story is even partly true, then we may not just be looking at secrecy. We may be looking at unelected power centers operating outside meaningful oversight from Congress, the executive branch, and likely even the president of the United States. That is not a small claim. That is a constitutional gut punch. Congress has already pushed for UAP records disclosure. The 2024 National Defense Authorization Act required the National Archives to establish a UAP records collection. It also required federal agencies to review, identify, and organize UAP records for disclosure and transfer to the archives. Senators Schumer and Rounds also introduced legislation modeled after the JFK records law to force agencies to identify and preserve UAP records. And at the same time, Arrow, the Pentagon's UAP office, reported that it found no empirical evidence that the US government or private companies have been reverse engineering extraterrestrial technology. Sure. So what are we watching exactly? A government trying to tell the truth? Yeah, right. or different pieces of the machine fighting over who gets to control it. Because if recovered technology is real, if even part of the UAP story is real, then disclosure would not just embarrass people. It would not just be a science story. It would be a chain of custody problem. Who had it? Who hid it? Who profited? Who lied under oath? And who made sure the wrong scientists never got too close? It could expose decades of lying, intimidation, stolen technology, buried science, illegal secrecy, and criminal cover. And before anyone says, "Well, that's too dark," well, the Church Committee documented serious intelligence abuses by U.S. agencies, including all the alphabet ones, the CIA, FBI, NSA, even the IRS. So no, I do not automatically trust the system to investigate itself. That would be ridiculous. When the system has already been caught lying with a badge on. Maybe the point was never to kill every scientist. Maybe it was to make the next one think twice. And then that leaves the final theory, narrative flooding, and this one's real. Maybe the whole list is not supposed to be clean. Maybe that's the point. Mix real cases with weak ones. Because sometimes the cover-up is not hiding the truth. It is burying the truth under 10 fake versions until nobody has the energy to dig anymore. And if that is what happened here, then the mess is not a flaw in the story. The mess is the weapon. So where does that leave us now? Well, not proof of one giant scientist purge. Not yet, at least. But also not with nothing. And that's the trick people love to pull with stories like this. They act like if you cannot prove the whole machine, you are not allowed to notice the gears. But we can notice the gears, the documented deaths, the documented disappearances, real historical precedent for scientists being targeted, our real government history of secrecy, surveillance, intimidation, illegal domestic programs, and buried truth. We have a public disclosure fight happening in Congress right now, while other parts of the system keep saying basically, "Well, nothing to see here," which historically has been one of the most suspicious sentences ever invented by people standing in front of locked doors. So no, this does not prove every name is connected. It does not make every official story false either. And it does not turn every death into a hit. But it does make one thing very hard to dismiss. The pattern keeps forming around the same locked doors of energy, propulsion, weapons, materials, the sky. And maybe that is what bothers me most. Because behind every name on this board was a human being, someone with a family, maybe unfinished notes sitting in a drawer somewhere, maybe a project they thought would change the world. If even one of these people got too close to something real, then this is not just a story about missing scientists. It is a story about control, the ugly kind of control. And that is the ugliest part of disclosure. Not the aliens, not the craft, please. The ugliest part is much more human. Because if powerful people have hidden the truth for decades, then disclosure is not just about revealing what exists. It is about revealing what was done to keep it hidden. All the careers that were destroyed, all the witnesses mocked, the science that has been buried, the families left with half answers. Because once the truth comes out, the question will not just be, "What are they?" It will be, "What did you do?" Deep down, people can feel that the old wall is cracking. Congress is asking questions. Whistleblowers are stepping forward. Pilots are talking. Documents are moving and the public is watching. And somewhere inside that machine, somebody may be realizing the worst possible thing. They might not control the story forever. So, what kind of knowledge makes a person dangerous? What kind of discovery turns a scientist into a liability? And what kind of truth becomes so heavy that an entire system would rather flood the room with noise than let one clean signal get through? I don't know, but I know this. When the same kinds of people keep disappearing, around the same kinds of technology, when the record is full of gaps, ghosts, sealed files, and trust us explanations from institutions that burned trust for decades, no, you do not look away. You do not laugh it off. Because maybe the scariest part is not that scientists die. Everyone dies. The scariest part is that some discoveries seem to turn people into loose ends. And if that is true, then the question is not just what happened to them. The question is what disappeared with them. Listen, thank you for being here tonight with me. I'm Ralph, and this is Divergent Files. If you've got something, anything out of this, do me a favor and hit that like button, drop a comment, tell me which case still does not sit right with you, and of course, subscribe if you haven't. It really does help the channel because apparently the algorithm needs to be handheld and hand-fed like a weird raccoon with self-esteem issues. Until next time, stay curious, stay sharp, and remember, no matter what they tell you, the truth is still out there.